My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, wow. These people look like they have money, so I don't know who these people are that just walked in, but pretend like we're doing something important.
Kenny, who is that?
Yo, they all have money. Every single one of those people have money. No, I apologize. I'm so sorry.
One of them had one of those fancy shirts that looked like it was silk or something, huh?
I don't know. As soon as I saw them, I got nervous. I was like, please don't turn here. Like, cause,
let me put my hood down.
Because there's a good chance if they were coming for the door, it was over for D'Lo and KC. Oh, man. I don't know who that was.
But yeah, Bob in accounting at the...
Bob in accounting.
I don't know where D'Lo is. I got KC over here. This party's out of control. The Cardinals scored another touchdown.
We've been talking a lot about the Cleveland Browns today in a fictitious scenario with the San Francisco 49ers. Why don't we create another one? They kept four quarterbacks.
Released Tyler Huntley today.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, yeah.
So Jameis is still there.
Jameis is still there.
Obviously, Deshaun.
Dorian Thompson Robinson, I think his name is.
That's the one.
Yeah. UCLA legend.
Does Jameis on the Raiders help?
Ultimately, no.
It's still not, I mean, it's not an answer.
Right.
It's clearly not an answer, but does it help you this year? Until Dak Prescott becomes a free agent and you pay him $200 million. Dak might get a Deshaun Watson contract. I'm dead serious. Dak might get a Deshaun Watson contract.
He might.
The thing with Jameis...
If there's an outlier owner who will go against the mandate to never do that again.
It might raise your ceiling a bit, but it also might lower your floor too, if that makes sense. He's so
he's just so extreme.
Like if Jameis is on, like Jameis could play. Like Jameis, when he's on, is better than Gardner Minshew. But when Jameis is like oh no.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a plus side to it, but there's also like if you want to take that risk.
Was it 30 and 30 or
was it 30 and 30?
Oh man. He went 30.
That's crazy.
There's some baseball players that can't even do that.
A 1-to-1 touchdown interception ratio is insane.
That high, too. It'd be one thing if it was 11-to-11.
No. Nope.
Bruce Arians was pissed off all year, too.
Oh, he was pissed. He was like, yeah, if we didn't throw 30 interceptions, we would have been great. Went out and got Tom Brady. Damn.
Jameis, did you see? I read transcripts. I didn't hear it. I don't know if this is. Maybe you saw it, Jesse. Did he have a hype speech the other day about going to CC's Pizza?
Jameis?
Yeah.
Jameis had a hype speech. I didn't watch it, but now I'm going to have to find it because maybe that was. I saw people like, oh, yeah, Jameis again or whatever.
Yeah, I think he was like, win this game and thinking about going to CC's Pizza.
I mean, I'm all about Jameis hype speeches. Let's find it.
Jameis wasn't bad on the Saints either now that I think about it.
Jameis.
Like, he can win you some games.
Jameis isn't bad. I think more than anything, you would need a coach that could – kind of just rein him in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he'd be a superstar, but if he had a good enough coach, I don't think he would like really hurt you to a certain degree. But yeah, I think they said something about they were going to win this game. And when you're tired, think about if you win, you go to CC's Pizza, something like that.
I'm trying to find it. Remember the time after the victory, he went to CC's Pizza and celebrated with the boys. Hold on. Okay, yeah, no. This is for everybody. We gotta hear this. Hold on. Jesse, I haven't previewed this. Just a heads up.
We're ready to go. Don't worry.
All right. Jameis Winston hype speeches.
Hey, man, it's great. It's just about having fun, man.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time you played your best football game in your life.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time after that victory you went to CC Pizza and celebrated with the boys.
Yes, okay,
for real. Feel it in your heart, man. Okay. It's a long way back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Let's not leave it without a victory.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So put everything you got on the line today. Let's have a game of memory, man.
Oh,
so I remember. Let's go.
Remember.
Okay.
Three.
Yo, right. Isn't this week three of the preseason?
Jameis.
Hey, you need guys like that on your team. I'm in. You know what, Jameis? I do remember. Jameis. Now I'm hyped.
It's week three of the preseason.
I ain't even mad at
you. Yeah, you need guys like that on your team.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man.
Jameis is trying to get me to remember when I had just love for the game and all that. Yes, Jameis.
Did CC's pay him? I hope CC's paid him for that.
He better be a CC's guy now. That's what he need to be now, CC's guy.
For me, it was Roundtable. For some, it was Pizza Hut, maybe.
Pizza.
For Jameis, it was CC's.
What you know about Straw Hat Pizza?
Mm. I've been to Straw Hat a few times.
What you know about Straw Hat?
Dude, stop. Nah, stop. You know disrespect. We had Straw Hat Pizza in Modesto.
I don't even remember if it was any good or not.
What about Godfathers?
Yeah, I remember. I'm not thinking fondly of them.
I didn't like Godfather's.
You know who got bomb pizza? And it might be, I mean, when you talk about just like pizza, I don't know, I'm talking about those big gourmet thing. Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese pizzas. Bomb.
What
happened?
Hold on. Hey, what happened?
The people in the chat, they will say, yeah, I go with that.
No.
I'm telling you.
What is going on in there?
I've never heard someone say, you know what's fire? Chuck E. Cheese.
I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you.
Chuck E. I'm crying real tears right now.
It's bomb. It's bomb. I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you.
I'm speechless right now.
Jesse's reaction killed me.
Anybody that's gone to Chuck E. Cheese and got the pizza, their pizza's bomb. Now, I'm not saying it's like the best in the city. I'm just talking, it's good pizza. Chuck E. Cheese pizza is good. I'm telling you.
I'm going to help you out, Casey.
I'm telling you, bro.
I think when you get to be my age without kids, you really haven't gone to Chuck E. Cheese in a long time, so I don't know what to...
I don't know which one Ramsey went to. Ramsey said it tastes like cardboard. I don't know, man. Chuck E. Cheese, I've been to about three different Chuck E. Cheeses. Pizza is always good.
He didn't say cardboard. That's not what Ramsey said.
It's that cardboard ass pizza. Stop. Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
No, that's a good question.
What's up?
When's the last time you had a Chuck E. Cheese pizza? Mine was about 20 years ago.
No, it was like 2 months ago.
Well, he does have kids, so it makes more sense than if you and I had Chuck E. Cheese this weekend.
Yeah, I'm
like,
not,
like can
like
you?
You two ordering from Chuck E. Cheese is a little different.
If I'm like, hey, KC said Chuck E. Cheese was wrong, can I like order a Chuck E. Cheese pizza?
You can.
I'm assuming they won't deliver it. I'd have to go sit in a Chuck E. Cheese and eat it.
Well, I don't think you have to sit in the Chuck E. Cheese and eat it. You could order it though, I believe.
Yeah, but they're not okay.
Securing the Bagley. I don't know. I think it's crazy.
Well, what's it say?
He says, oh, I forgot we're on the radio.
Thank you.
Securing the Bagley says KC's 100% right. Me and Securing the Bagley are the only ones on that tip, though. So I don't know if you guys gone to Chuck E. Cheese lately, though.
I have not.
But I'm talking about you guys in the chat. It's good.
I had like my first four birthday parties at the San Jose Chuck E. Cheese and haven't been back since.
Mm. Now, granted, there is no reason to go to Chuck E. Cheese if you don't have kids. I understand that. But it's good.
That was hilarious, though, because that was just not the one answer I was expecting.
No. Where who was that? Warren, who was that? someone said... I forgot where it began. You can't walk into Chuck E. Cheese without kids, though. You just can't go in there and go, hey.
No, Steven said it.
If you show up with no kids to Chuck E. Cheese, you're getting weird looks. You're getting thrown out. You can't do that. I'm just here because Kenny said the pizza was good.
Do not put my name in here if you're going
Kenny
to Chuck E. Cheese without the kids.
Said the pizza was good.
Don't do that.
All right. Chuck E. Cheese it is.
Chuck E. Cheese got good pizza.
Congrats to those that can celebrate, because not all of us can have Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, man. How do you know where we go from here?
I don't know. This started with Jameis. Jameis
well,
on the Raiders.
His fault.
This started with Jameis on the Raiders, and then somehow Jameis took it to CC's Pizza, and now here we are. Still without a defining idea if Jameis can upgrade.
Do you think Jameis could help the Raiders?
Marginally.
So yeah. If I think, and I don't think you're on the same boat. I don't know. I should ask you. You're right here. I think Minshew could get them to like 9-8 or something like that. Best case scenario. You think Jameis, best case scenario, can get them better than that?
Does Antonio Pierce have a real 4-year contract? Or is this one where you think it goes bad with Minshew and it's like, all right, didn't work out, AP, sorry.
I think it's real.
If he's got time, then I probably just ride it. You just let Minshew be your quarterback or whatever, and look for whoever after.
Okay. Well, what do we mean by real though?
Like I think he's going to have a couple of years to figure out.
Can he get his guy? Basically, they're going to give him time to get his guy and go through all that, the process of developing a quarterback and seeing it through.
I think his 4-year deal is really like a 3-year deal max.
Well, every 4-year deal is a 3-year deal.
True.
I mean, he'll still get paid.
I think if it's all bad this year, and the first 6 games are all bad next year, they may get rid of him then.
And that's what I'm saying.
I think it depends.
At that point, it's kind of fake. Because it's like, you can't really, they have a good team, but you can't expect them to be like playoffs or whatever.
Like, what do you, if your next offseason is like this offseason, that's not Antonio Pierce's fault.
I agree. I think he should. If I was the guy, I'd give him a real deal. But I don't know if that's what this is. I would give him time because I look at this the way it is, like the way you two do as well. Like,
unless you're getting a Dak, there's a rebuild that needs to happen.
Yeah, right. Like, Telesco can't think this is.
Yeah,
no, that's the squad here.
That's what I'm saying too.
There's more tearing down that needs to happen. Like, I think you should move Devontae.
I think you should too. Well, I think they might. If it goes bad enough this year, I think they'll move Devontae. Like, if they're like 1-6. Mm-hmm. I think if they're clearly just, this has been way worse than we imagined, and I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that's where Devontae winds up getting moved. Mm-hmm. And then you take your chances on this offseason, but you can't fall. They fell short. The Raiders absolutely fell short this offseason, regardless of the reasons why they did. And they're in a position to kind of like, well, shout out to The Athletic.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like a gap year for the Raiders where you hope they can compete, maybe find their way into the playoffs, and then see what happens this offseason.
See, now I feel like they low-key set Antonio Pierce back maybe like a few steps or whatever, because if anything, like this was supposed to be the year where he got his guy. Like maybe it was Michael Penix or whoever, and it's just kind of like,
yeah,
now you're already a year behind.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all.
Which means you should be giving him the full 4 years, in my opinion.
I agree. We'll come back. Steph Curry signed an extension today.
Did he ever?
That was unexpected. At least the length of the extension was unexpected.
Well, we all know why it happened. We'll talk about it when we get back. We all know why it happened.
And we'll talk about the documentary everyone is tagging us in on social media. We'll talk about that as well. When Dylan and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. We have been asked quite a bit about the Vince McMahon documentary. That just popped up on the show a couple of days ago, where we weren't really sure what the status of that was.
Wasn't it yesterday?
Was it yesterday?
Pretty sure it was yesterday, I think.
Maybe the day before.
Day before, maybe.
Yeah, but whatever it was, it was very recently. Well, not only do we have confirmation the documentary is coming out, we've got the date and everything.
I changed my mind on that, too.
Elaborate.
I saw who's going to be directing it and stuff like that. Like, Bill Simmons will be a part of it. I don't think it's going to have, like, this WWE, like twist on it or whatever, like how their docs usually are and stuff like that. I think it'll be legit.
Yeah, it seems like it will be.
So this is definitely not a WWE documentary.
I think it's going to be really good. I'm looking forward to it.
So do you think, because a lot of, did they change direction? Did they have an idea of what they wanted this to look like? And it doesn't say in the release from Netflix today. At least I don't see it. It doesn't say, I believe the original thing with this was like six parts. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary series. Do you think they had a direction in mind? Then the last few years happened the way that they do, and they're going in a different direction now.
If it's the same people, no, I think they were going to give you.
I believe it's the same people.
I think they were going to give you what it was.
Hmm.
And so how do I put this? A couple of years ago, if they were doing this, some of the stuff that's out now, I don't think they would have like necessarily been the ones to expose it. You know how these things go. They may have heard it. But they're not going to be the one to put it in their doc. But now it's out. And they're like, yeah, we're putting it in there. But I also don't think it was going to be like the roses and sunshine before. I think it was just going to be like a real depiction of the documented stuff that came with Vince McMahon. The other maybe they wouldn't get into rumors and stuff like that. But now I think they get into all of it.
We've talked about like WWE going to Netflix and all that, and it's getting thrown in the chat. Like Netflix probably doesn't want like it to be too bad. Could this be what separates the WWE from Vince?
It could be.
Where like
now
we move on. Like Vince is done. Now this is the new WWE.
I feel like they tried to use WrestleMania 41 for that. Like so much of that Cody Rhodes moment became Triple H. Like the whole conversation in the press conference for WrestleMania 41. Or was it 40? The one we just had was about Hunter and Triple H and the new direction of the WWF and the first WrestleMania without Vince McMahon like around it all. And that was like the biggest separation I think we've seen in the WWE Vince McMahon thing. But Jesse, I think you're onto something. This could be the ultimate.
Because I could see that's coming away from this, like, wow, like not us, but like others, whoever, casual, best, whatever you want to call him or whatever. Just like, oh yeah, Vince is the worst. Like he's just never associated ever again. He's just kind of out of sight, out of mind after that.
And it could happen that way. I also look at like what you talked about. You look at like, and maybe this is a little too inside wrestling, but it felt like they were trying to do that. Part of doing that weekend was bringing Stephanie back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this is a different, like she left because.
She left, that's right. During the first dad, thing, yeah, the first allegations.
Her dad was that bad. She didn't want nothing to do with him. She's back now. That's a sign. It's gone. It's a different company at this point. So I'm with you, man. This, you know, this whole thing could be the start of separating himself.
The difficult part with covering wrestling, especially like in a historical sense, is no matter how much they tell you they're not, wrestling and wrestlers is designed to fool the public. And wrestlers have been telling the same like stories their entire life that I think, or their entire careers that I think some of them have convinced themselves it's true. Ric Flair's entire documentary, his not the documentary, the 30 for 30, was like, you guys didn't vet this at all. He's just saying dumb stuff after dumb stuff, and you're going along with it. The Vince McMahon thing that I always think about is the Superfly one, where Superfly, by all accounts, killed his girlfriend in like a roadside fight. Not like instantly, but like they had a roadside fight. The belief is he threw her on the ground. They got back in the car and went to the hotel. He went to wrestle or do whatever, and she died because she had head injuries. Superfly tells this story that Vince McMahon walks into the, where did they use to, Allentown, Pennsylvania police office with a briefcase and leaves without it, giving the indication that he just paid off this police force. Incredible wrestling people don't challenge that. So Superfly Jimmy Snuka is the bearer of reality. And that's like when it cut, like, again, it's just constant. We're trying to find ways to fool the public. And so it happened. I think Jason Hare is a great director. He's not on this, but he did the Andre one. Mm-hmm. Hogan did not write the match out. Like, there's so much in that documentary. Like, why? It's great when non-wrestling fans produce stuff. It's also a hazard because no one can look at Hogan and go, bro, you're lying. No, you didn't. You're literally stealing the Macho Man bit. Mm-hmm. Macho Man wrote his match. Mm-hmm. You didn't. Your match was easy. Slam him, fall on your back, go in a bear hug for 10 minutes, hit the leg drop, and we're out of here. But he's like, I wrote the whole thing down, brother. And no one was like, Hogan, you're a goddamn liar. Give me a break. And that's the tough part. How do you weed out truth and reality with the guy who is most responsible for blurring the lines of fiction and reality?
Right.
I said truth and reality, but you guys know what I meant.
Do you think that this like gives a true account of what's going on?
No.
Even with him not involved?
Well, he's not involved as a producer. He is interviewed in it, but that doesn't mean anything because the pitch could be very well, Vince, we're going to tell the story whether you're a part of it or not. But also remember, this was agreed to before the first resignation and the first blow up. Like, this was already agreed to. This stuff could have been filmed 3 years ago.
True.
This documentary has been in the works for a very, very long time. My guess is there isn't a single question to Vince McMahon about the... There can't be because it's an ongoing legal thing, but my guess is there's nothing even remotely close to that in this documentary.
You don't think they address it in the documentary?
No, they do address it. They don't address it with Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It says right here on the tweet that they the journalist who uncovered the allegations are a part of this documentary.
Yeah, I think they're gonna get that real.
I think they're gonna tell the story, but I don't know what this documentary is going to be because I don't know what to think of Vince McMahon.
Because my thing is, right, the way I'm looking at it is, what is Vince going to do? What is Vince going to do? Like, if I tell the real story, what is he going to do? He don't have no control. He can't box me out of anything no more. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say what it is.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I think they're going to tell the story of that part. Of that part of Vince McMahon's life. What I'm curious is this the first time this has happened? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's the first time. He had an incident at a tanning salon, maybe in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. A referee accused him of, I'm going to use the word assault, in the early 90s. Are we talking about those? I mean... At least one of those people were paid off. I don't know what happened to the tanning salon incident. Mm-hmm. But how much Vince McMahon stuff is out there that we don't know about, and how much does this documentary work to uncover that stuff? Is it meant to tell the story of Vince McMahon? Is it meant to tell the story of the WWE? Will we hear the same recycled storylines of I bet everything on the first WrestleMania? Like, I don't doubt that that's true, but are you going to present that in a different way? Mm-hmm. Because this will be interesting for documentary watchers, but every wrestling fan in the world is going to want to see this because there's nothing like this on Vince McMahon. There's documentaries on Hogan, on Andre, on Austin, on Rock, on all of their favorite. There's nothing on Vince. Mm. And so their audience is going to be very, very wide.
I'm looking forward to it. I want to see this. This is something that is something I'm tapped in for. Because to your point, like, we've never seen anything like this.
Right.
So I want to see, I want to maybe learn some things. I want to see how far they go with all this. I'm interested.
Go ahead, then.
No, I was just going to say, Sean makes a great point. I hope they don't reveal that wrestling is scripted. That would just be devastating.
Did you see John Moxley's promo on AEW yesterday?
I did.
Yeah. Are you guys in on that at all? Maybe it's Shane coming
McMahon.
Back.
Yeah.
A little invasion going on.
Don't do an invasion because that's not going to work.
But imagine they use Cesaro and those guys now. Like a little WWE.
Oh, your boy. Your boy.
Hey, I'm a hater. Your boy. It kind of piqued my interest. You can do it right.
So here's the, like, it'll be a cool moment. Like, wow, McMahon just showed up on a competing wrestling station. Channel wrestling show, but okay, then what? Like, you better have, like, whatever. Let's bring this show full circle
and do it. Yeah. I see where you're going.
What's the end game?
And that's what they're bad at. That's what they're awful at. They can get the
I know the end game. Put them in a ring that blows up with thumbtacks. And Moxley, I need you to bleed.
Right. The way this ends is like they pay it off where like the AEW team wins, but Team WWE is still around. They just kind of float around facing off with whoever. Still a thing.
Let's not do that. Like, Vince did it poorly. Tony's going to do it poorly. Let's not do that. Let's find something different. I'm all for it. If Shane McMahon shows up, great. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. Let's do something different.
What do you think about them like hinting at that? Like, I wouldn't even hint.
Oh, no. It's beautiful though. I think it's smart because they got the picture out there, and now you have people talking about something, right? You have really good storylines going on with, Daniel and getting the title, and, you know, Christian has had this renaissance in the last, like Christian is just phenomenal right now, and you have interesting wrestling storylines. What other aspect could you add to this that could be fun? And the tough part is you have people thinking it might be Shane McMahon, which would be unheard of. But if it's not, whatever the payoff is, it better be really good. Because then you don't want people to walk away with the type of feeling.
It's
Does the zoom in on the guy with the CM Punk shirt mean anything? Not CM Punk's coming back, but like that was pretty deliberate.
No. Doesn't mean anything. Because the only thing it could possibly mean is coming back and he's not.
I don't know if it meant like they pointed at WWE and like Shane or something like that.
I see you. Okay.
Because they did move the camera before the guy started sitting up too. Standing up.
I see you.
They trying to do a little story.
Jesse cooking.
Yeah.
The company.
One of the writers.
The company, AEW's not bad. I just struggle with some of the things that they do that are so unnecessary. I do think there is a WWE way of putting together a show that really, really works. And there are peaks and valleys in a show. And AEW's idea is, let's showcase the greatest talent in the world. Like, okay. By the fourth match, I've seen it all. Like, you guys are all, so many of these guys are all doing the same thing.
Right.
I'm bored. I haven't gotten to the main event. I haven't even gotten to the best wrestler in the world.
Mix in a Doink the Clown every now and then or something.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but he's right. Give me a Braun Strowman or something to come out there and throw a guy around for 5 minutes and then leave.
Yeah.
Let's get TC in here. I don't think TC's calling to talk about this. 916-909-1320. TC, what's happening, baby?
Hey, no, listen. Hey, what's up with my two brothers?
Hey, nothing, TC. Up, we TC? Here. We know you fired up today. Go ahead.
Hey, no, listen. Hey, I'm fired up. Hey, I'm going to leave that alone because y'all know my stance on that, man. So I'm just talking about the Kings, how they're trying to come around Stephen A. You know, people trying to come around full circle for the Kings. That's what I was saying a couple of weeks ago when I said, look, hey, let's not trip. Let's not trip. Let everybody keep sleep on us. Now everybody's going to start talking. Now it's closer to the season. You get me?
I got you.
See it around the media. Also, a question to both of y'all. Are y'all going to be purchasing those 11 that's coming out? Are they coming out next December? The black, red, and gray ones. I just seen them online. Those are fire to me, bro. I'm getting those. I know Katie getting them, D-Lo. What about you?
No. I'm not. Thank you, TC. Love you, brother.
I might. I don't know. I gotta see how I'm feeling, you know, by the time we get there.
Talk to Big Mike in a while? Mr. Jordan?
I haven't ever talked to him. What?
You worked for him.
Why would they even ask me that question?
You work. Jesse, have you worked for Michael Jordan or Joe Lacob?
No, sir.
Does that mean I talk to these guys?
NBA champion and Jordan athlete Kenny Caraway.
One day, I would hope to be a Jordan athlete. I'm not a Jordan athlete.
Won't deny the NBA champion, though, huh?
Hey. Yes or no?
I don't even have that ring. That's not even my ring.
Sir, Mr. Caraway, have you or have you not worked for Michael Jordan?
Indirectly, yes.
What does indirectly mean?
This is a court of law. This is a yes or no question. Have you or have you not worked for Michael Jordan?
Indirectly. Does he own Jordan brand?
Did you or did you not work for Mr. Jordan's company?
Is that his brand or is that Nike?
Is
that Phil Knight's brand?
Have you or have you not worked for Phil Knight?
Possibly.
Was that like a downgrade? Like what?
Well, I'm just saying that's not my
Jordan. Dudes in the polos are back. Be careful. Just act like
I think the Kings can be top four and they might win two rounds in the playoffs.
I hope we're not playing over. Oh no, they don't even. I didn't even notice till you guys pointed it out that we really don't play on the loudspeaker out there.
Yeah, no, we never do. We never have.
I wonder if we were on there one day and Jonathan was like, "What the hell is this?"
Well, no, Jonathan and Seth, like, we got them on our side. I think it's elsewhere.
Well, no, maybe Complex Jonathan fight. Was. Yeah. Maybe Jonathan and Seth were looking out for us. Like, hey, maybe we just don't. Maybe we just don't allow this to play over the speaker just in case a bunch of guys with polos.
You know, can you imagine if we were playing over the loudspeaker when Chicago's call was happening that one time?
Oh, my God. And Stacey Kaufman comes walking in looking down at her phone and that's playing over the loudspeaker.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. Do not play us.
That'd be great. No, it's fine. Just leave us alone. We are not bothering anybody. We are not bothering anybody. And we are brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines, over 80 table games, one humidor, hundreds of cigars, hundreds of different types of whiskeys for you to try inside our favorite place at the humidor. Of course, we are going to be right next door at 32 Brew Street inside Sky River Casino for the kickoff of Monday Night Football in the San Francisco 49ers season. We'll be there beginning at 12. We'll be doing the show live at 12. We hope that you could pull up. We really, really hope that you are going to be a part of this. We promise you this show is going to be incredible. We have issued an open challenge to anyone in the Sacramento media who wants to come through and talk at Sky River Casino.
Pull up.
No matter where you work, you pull up on us at 32 Brew Street. We'll put a microphone in front of you. And we'll sit down and we'll have a conversation.
That's right.
As we get ready for the 49ers season. Plus, we'll have the first full weekend of the NFL season behind us.
That's right.
So, September 9th, make your plans to be with us at Sky River Casino.
If someone does show up from wherever else, we need to play Lex Luger's music or whatever. Like, if we're going to do
Lex
this.
Lex Luger?
Well, because when he showed up for Nitro or whatever, because then they know think
he didn't even
WWE.
Have any music.
Oh, he didn't?
He just walked out.
All right, we'll just do it that way. We need to do this right, then.
We can do the NWO music.
Hey.
You want something else? What do you want to do, Cult of Personality?
I don't know. I'm just saying, if we're going to do this.
I'm just saying, Lex didn't have any music.
I didn't even know that.
He just walked down in the middle of the mall by the pretzel place. the Mall of America. We're like, what's he doing? Get the camera off of him. Crazy thing about Lex is he really did work like the night before for WWE.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
You can never pull that off now, right?
You should be able to.
Well, no, I mean, like, Ricochet was pretty close.
True.
But Ricochet wasn't a, with all due, he wasn't a star.
Yeah. Like,
Luger was a bigger star in WWE.
Yeah. Luger, did he go back and forth? Did he start?
No, I don't think he ever went back.
No, but I thought
he went to. I'm sorry.
Starting WCW.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I thought. Starting WCW, came.
Yep.
WWF, and then went back.
And yeah, and then he never after the purchase, he never went back. 916-909-1320. If you want to share your favorite moments from the Lex Express.
Well, look, the one thing I can say is, go ahead, say what you're gonna say.
Did you see the Tom Brady stuff?
Vaguely. Yeah, vaguely.
So
I didn't even know that was still in consideration, like still in play.
So I think it feels like that the owners, because remember the owners were originally upset with Mark Davis. And I think there was, I don't know that this quote was attributed to someone specific. Or if it was an anonymous, I can't remember what, but I remember we talked about the quote where we haven't even started the process of approving Tom Brady's ownership. Like, that's not a thing yet. And part of it was because, a major part of it was because owners were upset that Mark Davis was essentially selling part of the Raiders to Tom Brady at a discount. And the league was saying that devalues our franchises. We can't have you do that. Of course, days ago, they announced, I think it was yesterday, that they're selling off like to private equities, like approved private equities. You could sell a portion of your team to. So it feels like they've been resistant to this whole transaction between Mark Davis and Tom Brady to begin with. You can decide how this got out there, but apparently there's been, this was discussed at the owners' meetings, there is a list of restrictions, some pretty heavy restrictions on Tom Brady, the broadcaster, as he's going through the ownership process, and if he gets approved, these measures will be in place. He can't be in teams' facilities.
That's crazy.
He can't be in production meetings. And there was one other main one that I got to find. Those were two of the really, really big ones. He can't be in a production facility, and he can't be, he can't be on a team's facility, and he can't be in a production meeting.
He can't go to practice either?
Practice, that was it. He can't go to a team's practice.
When I saw that, I was just like, just quit being an announcer at that point.
But what's more valuable? He's got a $500 million contract?
He does.
Is this Fox one?
Yeah.
I think it was a quarter of a billion, I think. Okay. I have to double check. I think it was 250.
My bad. Okay. That makes a lot more sense. $25 million per year.
I'm thinking if he's got ownership in the Raiders, I don't know how much. Maybe it's a Shaq-like percentage, but if you got ownership in the Raiders, that would be a little bit more, right? I would think.
I don't know.
Brady got $375 from Fox, too.
$375. Okay. We split the difference. More. Do you think that the league is trying to squeeze him out of the ownership thing?
You don't
want to give up your $375 million.
Right.
Go be a broadcaster and leave this team owner stuff alone.
I think they're trying to squeeze him out at that price.
But why would the price change based on these restrictions?
Because he may look at it like it's not worth it. Like it's not even worth it. You know, I might as well just take this announcer money right now. So at that price, yeah, I think they're trying to squeeze him out. But if he was ready to pay the regular price that they think should be asked for to be part of an ownership group, I don't think they'd have a problem with it. And I say, you know,
he can't criticize officials either.
That's crazy.
While Brady could, in theory, state that he disagrees with a call on air, he would be subject to fines or even suspension if he went too far. He'd be subject to the gambling policy as well, and he'd be subject to the league's anti-tampering policies.
Yeah, go hop in the booth, bro. You don't need to be an owner.
I'd do. If I were him, I'd do both.
How
I'd
could you be an can. Effective? How could you be an effective broadcaster if you can't meet with coaches and players? You're not even allowed in the facility.
You're just cheating off of your broadcasting partner's homework.
What do they do at games? What do they do at games? Do they like walk us, take a security guard and walk him up to the booth? I'm being serious.
I know. Like,
because I'd imagine he's not permitted in locker rooms.
That's bizarre.
That's crazy.
I feel like, do you think he could do a good job announcing the game with all those restrictions?
Based on people I've been around who have done that, no.
I don't want to minimize the work that goes into it, but I think Tom Brady knows enough about football.
But it doesn't, no. My opinion is no. You get a lot of just stuff from coaches, players in those moments that can go a long way to how you tell a story on a broadcast. Could he do it? Sure. He'd be the boringest guy in history. He would literally be offering nothing other than what he is seeing in front of him.
I feel like that's kind of what we get anyway.
No, I don't think that's true.
I know they do a lot of work. They talk to a lot of people, but Tom Brady basically telling us like what we just saw.
Here's what I could tell you. He wouldn't be a $375 million broadcaster under those restrictions. We'll come back. Matt George joins us in 30 minutes here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. KC's been locked out of the studio. Oh, man. He got the Jamal Adams treatment. Damn shame. Damn shame what happened to Kenny Caraway. Steph Curry signed a contract extension today. A one-year, $62.6 million contract extension. Of course, he had 2 years remaining on his four-year, $215 million contract. He was eligible to sign a one-year extension this offseason due to the NBA's over 38 rule. And I love how they have all of these, like, over 38 rules, these veteran rules, all of these types of things in place for these guys. But Steph, obviously 36, those 2 years remaining on his contract. And he hit rarefied air with this one. This $62.6 million puts him over the $500 million, the $500 million total range for his career earnings, as KC has been let back in the building.
Yeah, I mean, that was the end, guys. That was the end. I snuck back in.
No, it's all right. Well, at least you're here till at least seven, pal. But we were talking about the Steph Curry new contract puts him over $535 million.
Oof.
A little impromptu, not exactly pocket watching.
Is this training camp?
This is just a little exhibition.
Okay.
How many players have earned over $500 million in their career?
I will play the integrity game here.
Okay.
Unlike the KC.
Wow.
I actually saw this stat earlier. Wow. So I know the names.
Okay. Well, I don't. My guess would be Steph, LeBron, and Kevin Durant. I wonder, because I don't know if it's James Harden or not. But I'm going to say Kevin Durant.
I can tell you right now, it's not James Harden. I had an all-time worst guess on him, so it's not.
LeBron James, 583.9. Steph Curry, 535.7. Paul George, 518.6. Kevin Durant,
511.8. I didn't know. I thought it was less than five, but I thought it was only three. But I forgot my boy PG.
Anthony Davis right now, 498.1.
Wow.
Sorry, pal. Wow. You're not welcome in this club.
Oh, man. Well, Steph Curry, does this say anything to you about, like, the future or whatever? Do you think, like, he's looking at it like, I've got these last 3 years left?
Let me just ask, can he reach, does he reach 600 million?
Yeah, so.
Does he get another contract after this?
Yeah, because that's, I mean, really, that's another like 1 year, it's like a 1 year extension at that point.
Yeah.
Because what did we just say, is that 535? That would be, help me, you know I'm not very, is that $65 million? Yeah. At that point, right. That's probably what the contract would be worth.
One farewell tour. What he'd be
40?
Yeah,
he'd be 40. Let's get Manny in here. He's probably calling to yell at me. 916-909-1320. What's up, Manny?
Nah, you're a busy man. It's all good. Hey, so in looking at that Steph Curry contract, and somebody had brought it up on a show before, but who do you think, because at some point we're going to get a one-year, $100 million contract. Someone's going to sign that extension or that contract. Who do you think would be the player? Who's the first player you think that's going to get that?
Well, that's 10 years away probably. And signing a 1 year, $100 million contract is probably 15 to 20 years away. Someone hitting $100 million at the end of their contract with all of the 8% increases or whatever the increases are at the end of it, that's probably closer to 10 to 12 years away if things keep going the way that some of these people. And we kept landing on Luka and Wemby.
Yeah. I feel like it'd be Luka.
Those were the guys we kept landing on. But yeah. Luka, 10 years from now, will be 16 years into his career.
Man, he's already been in the league that long, 6 years.
Is that right? 18, right? Is that the draft?
Yeah, Bagley.
Yeah.
Damn. Because, yeah, De'Aaron.
Shout out Marvin Bagley.
De'Aaron's 7 years in, and it was just 1 year after.
Mm-hmm. Got to make sure we have room to pay De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. And Harry Giles.
Man. Oh, HG, man. Damn, man. HG, I thought he was going to be able to turn his career.
The next time you think you and your other Kings fans' friends are overreacting to something, be it Kevin Huerter or Jordan McLaughlin or whoever, just remember a very real conversation for a year was paying De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. We got to make sure we have max contract room for De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. Now everybody was half right, but don't forget that. And then the person who really got smart and said, well, don't forget about Harry. Got to see how Harry works in all of this.
What about Frank Mason?
Mark my words.
Backcourt was supposed to take the NBA by storm.
I believe
Mark Wong has this wrong here. He says can't forget Kenny's favorite point guard, Frank Mason. That wasn't what I said.
It wasn't?
No, that was like Starfire something.
I said the whole tweet. I believe was to go you get
said
Trae Young.
You said Trae Young and figure out what to do with Frank Mason later.
Yeah, because we like Frank.
Okay, so, well, we do. My goodness.
That would have been a hell of a backcourt.
Figure it out later.
De'Aaron and Trae Young. But
you know what? The funny thing about it's better. At least you didn't tweet, you can't draft Trae Young. What would you do with Frank Mason? At least you didn't tweet that.
I do want to see something real quick, though. Let me see. Give me a second, everybody, as I pull this up, because we talk about Marvin Bagley.
Soren brings up another good one. Not going to name names. Someone tried giving, but it wasn't a 3-year. It was a lifetime deal.
Well, that was after he played well after one game.
That's not true. And I also said,
I think if this is who he is.
If this is who he is, if he wants to accept this, which he showed that he wouldn't.
I wish Soren would even tell the whole story. You tried to offer that man a 3-year extension when he had 3 years left on his deal.
He just got a deal.
I said, if he accepts this point in this role in his career, we could have something. He didn't accept it. He was complaining, kicking, and screaming. That's all I'm saying. He didn't do it. Now he's starting on the Warriors.
Imagine if it was
according
up
to some.
If it was up to in making an All-Star team. If it was up, do you realize if it was up to Kenny, Buddy would still be here for like 2 more years?
Buddy would be here. Frank Mason would be here.
Miss P, could you imagine that? Well, there's the Hassan Whiteside bidding war. Like, let's not.
It was going to be a bidding war for Hassan Whiteside.
This man said there's good.
That's our deal on KC Cold War. We were stocking up, but nothing was ever really fired.
You have really said some wild stuff in the history of this show.
We were ready to go, too. It was like, oh, no, we're not. We're good, guys.
Hey, man. Hey, look. It looked like they were going to be going after good old Hassan.
KC was like, guys, we got to be ready. Teams are going to be going after him.
No, that wasn't the context. The context was you want to get rid of him. You could create a bidding war.
Yep. How'd that go? Did they even trade him that year? I don't think they did.
I don't think they did.
The bidding war came and went.
So this is what I do want to ask you. I'm trying to pull this up as fast as I can because I agree with you.
I don't even know what you agree with.
Well, relax when you talk about, you know, oh, man, you got to go get this guy.
Oh, all this other stuff.
You got to relax. How do you think people talked about Keegan Murray after his rookie year? You think they talked the same way?
Keegan Murray?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Do you think they were like, hey, you got to think about Keegan Murray down the road?
Oh, yeah, he was Kawhi Leonard after that first year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we think that's crazy?
No. Do we? I don't.
I don't.
Think what is crazy?
That people talk about Keegan Murray in that vein.
No, I don't think that was crazy.
It's not.
Keegan Murray in his rookie season.
Oh, I know where this is going. This is yeah, you're teeing this up. This is beautiful.
12.2 points, yep. 4.6 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Shot 41%.
Wow.
Rebound,
yeah, know? Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Marvin Bagley, he was 14.9 and 7.6 rebounds.
How many games, though?
Very good.
He played 62 that year.
How many did they win?
They were actually solid. They didn't win, what was it, 30 or 40? It was 40 they didn't get to, right?
It was 39, but I don't think that was Marvin Bagley's rookie year, was it?
Yeah.
Was that Dave Yeager's last year?
Coach Yogurt.
Oh.
That was so disrespectful.
Yeah, also, find the Keegan Murray portion that does that.
No, I'm not.
Kenyon? Mr. Murray, he doesn't do that.
All I'm saying is I understand how people were excited after Marvin Bagley's rookie year. He was a good ball player.
Mm-hmm.
And he averaged, it was 14.9, 15 and 7.5 off the bench. Like, I understand the excitement.
It wasn't until his third year, though, that it really died.
Because
even through his second year, it was like, max contract. And then it became, well.
Definitely. Maybe not. I mean, and then he just could not stay healthy whatsoever. I remember when he got hurt against the Bucks. When the Kings were like fringe, trying to hold on to, you know, maybe we can make the playoffs. There was no playing back in these day, kids. Fringe and make the playoffs. And Marvin got hurt. He like twisted his knee or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing the Bucks. It was an overtime game or something. And everybody was like, oh, no. Well, that's it. We don't have Marvin. We don't have a chance. And we were like praying that it wasn't a torn ACL.
Yeah.
We all thought it might have been. All I'm saying is I can understand the excitement after his rookie year. I understand it.
Okay.
Definitely didn't go anywhere close to
him. What about Harry?
Harry, I believed in Harry. I believed in what he could do. I thought at the time, I know he was removed with all the injuries and stuff like that, but I remember just looking at his little high school mixtape, and I was like, that is one of the most impressive high school mixtapes I've ever seen. He is unbelievably talented.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I don't think he's going to ever be that again, obviously, but if he could get 80% of that, then like, man.
Who was Coach K's assistant when he was there? He went on to be a head coach. Man, I cannot remember this brother's name, but I remember we had him on the lowdown, and he said Harry was the coldest high school player he had ever seen.
He was amazing.
Of all the players he recruited, there was no one better than Harry Giles.
He was amazing. And like I said, I would just watch that high school footage. I'm like, it's tough because this is after two ACLs, I think. Mm-hmm. I can't expect him to be that again, but if he can – if he can give you like 80% of this, man, like you might have something. And I thought, I don't know. I honestly don't know what the issue is with Harry Giles in the league. Obviously, the whole league can't be wrong. But I remember when he got an opportunity to play during the before COVID hit and the Kings played so well. I thought he played really well. I think he has a skill set that seems to work. One of his issues may be he can't defend without fouling. Maybe that's a problem. But, yeah, man, I don't know. I don't think it'll happen now. I'm not saying go sign him like he's still got something left. But I don't know why it went so wrong with Harry Giles.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but he's still over. He's over like Roman Reigns coming back from WrestleMania, man. This crowd loves that dude, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely loves that dude. You surprised that Steph signed the one-year extension?
Not surprised. I didn't know this was on the radar, but if it was there,
either,
you know, take the $60 million for sure. I do wonder if he's trying to line this up for to move on, because right now how it was Draymond was the longest, the guy with the longest contract.
Mm-hmm.
He had 3 years left on his deal. Steph only had two. There was somebody else that only had two. Now it feels like they line this up, they both get out at the same time, and that's it.
Draymond ain't seen that.
Could you imagine contract. hold on could you imagine
what's gonna happen?
You think he's gonna retire?
Not now. Because Steph has the same contract.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it.
Why not?
Didn't he have like a bad back or something?
He'll play. Now that Steph is here, like if Steph was still with 2 years left,
mm-hmm.
he might dip out before that last year.
Okay.
But now that they've got the same one, it's going to kind of be like what we talked about. It's one last time. See Steph Curry all year long.
Oh, yeah.
They're battling for the 11th seed. One last time. Last two left standing.
The number, well, no, we're just going to see one. You can see Draymond Green. He's over there in street clothes.
I was going to say, could you imagine a Draymond Green year without Steph Curry? Like, after he retires, if he didn't get this one extra year,
he'd play 10 games.
Draymond leading the Warriors after Steph is retired.
Draymond would play 10 games.
No, we're just going to see one.
I'm see the last two. No, sir, I'm here to see Steph Curry. I'm not here to see the guy wearing a 20 Montreal sweatsuit over there. Sit down.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.